So this evening on the stream of free radio at freakradio.org, it is indeed another edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides, but we're going to have to do it, well, a shorter one this time, because I've been struggling with the computer for 2 hours after a lengthy Huff meeting, and I'm fading out, but we're also losing the opportunity to do it as far as the time factor goes. So be patient with me. This is going to be a shorter show than usual, and it's also going to include, I think, a flashback to cover some of the space that we couldn't cover with material, which I have, but I just haven't got time to put in. It's going to be, presumably, added to the show on Sunday, so don't despair. Any case, going to be a lot of stuff. We're going to look into the city mangler, Matt Huffaker. He's the guy who runs the city, highly paid and highly dangerous, who has made an announcement to the city council about impending doom in the benchlands, which he likes to do and give an upbeat flavor to. And you'll hear what he has to say very briefly to the city council, and it ain't much. But first, let's hear our characteristic theme song, and we'll get into it, as well as a few bits from Berkeley and People's Park.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
In the Tuesday shitty council meeting on the 9th, I guess, of August, was held in the afternoon and evening. Actually, just the afternoon. I don't think they have much. They may have had one bit of an evening session. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I did hear the city mangler's report, and you're going to be able to hear that momentarily. One of the things that I noted about it, as usual, and I mentioned probably as usual, is they do not provide any opportunity for public comment on really the most important report from the most powerful individual and the most highly paid individual in the city. And that, to me, is, it certainly confirms my suspicions that they couldn't really care less what the community thinks about it, particularly since they don't usually have a lot of other things to do. At this particular meeting, they had almost nothing to do. And when oral communications came along at 5:30, that's where you get to talk about something, anything you want, if it's not been talked about on the agenda, which usually is everything of significance. You can for 2 minutes, unless you get a hold of them. I think it's before Sunday 5 o'clock, and implore the mayor to give you group speaking time, or ask the mayor. I mean, why you know, over dramatize it? But it's a cutback from what it previously was, 5 minutes for group, and it's also anything that you say to city council is to a certain extent problematic, because I tend to get the feeling myself, and maybe it's just with respect to me, but I think it's with regard to a lot of the issues I'm concerned about, ranging from police abuse to gentrification to human rights to militarism in the police department to homeless civil rights. They don't want to spend any time addressing abuses around those issues or concerns about them. It's just not really in their playbook. So it doesn't really matter. But nonetheless, we speak on. I spoke at the oral communications period, and so did a few other people. You're going to hear that. But first, you get to hear Matt Huffaker, the city manager. Now, before we hear the Mangler's very resource-poor, elliptical, facts-scarce report, you must remember that one of the big concerns in the Benchlands has been that Huffaker was promising to evict them all by mid-July, or at the end of July, or in the middle of July. It wasn't clear. And rumors were abounding, I was told, by several folks at the Food Not Bombs meal a month ago, that they were worried they were about to be evicted, that they were told by Jeremy Leonard it would be August 1st. They had to get out of there, accept his offers to go up to the Overlook campground or the armory. And this isn't what Jeremy said to me. This is what others who claimed that they said to him. I have nothing specific to report from Jeremy. I've written him letters requesting some more specifics, and I can't get a response. He's referred me instead to the city mangler, who calls himself the city manager, Matt Huffaker. And Huffaker was invited to come to the next meeting of the Union of the Homeless, which at last, finally, has begun to hold meetings again. It held one in the Resource Center for Nonviolence. Gosh, it was on Monday. And it's going to be holding another one next Monday on the 15th. And there were actual homeless people in attendance. I don't know if they characterize themselves as homeless union members, but they certainly were pissed about the Benchlands threats, about bad services at some of the other shelters, and about the general condition of authorities regarding information around what's coming next. So we'll see, although I'm in no way optimistic that Huffaker is going to come to this Monday the 15th meeting, but that doesn't mean you listeners, you certainly can come if you'd like. And we talked about that today at the Huff meeting, of which there were about four homeless folks who showed up, though I don't think there were any Benchlands residents. But there were numerous Benchlands residents who came to the Monday Union of the Homeless meeting. And there was an invitation, as they say, extended by Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs and Alicia Cool of the Union of the Homeless to Huffaker and his lieutenants to come on down on Monday and explain things. In fact, I think I'll read McHenry and Alicia Cool's letter. But first, let's hear what old Matt Huffaker, or young Matt Huffaker, I think he's younger than I am, has to say about this, about homelessness generally and the Benchlands specifically.
And then lastly, I wanted to provide some brief updates on our ongoing homelessness response work. At our next meeting, the council will receive a quarterly homelessness response update with significantly more details on the wide range of work that our homelessness response team and all of our departments, frankly, are working collectively on. But I did want to provide some brief highlights based on some of that work that's underway. That includes the ongoing work around the oversized vehicle ordinance. As the council knows, that moved to an appeal process and hearing in front of the Coastal Commission on July 14th. The commission at that point in time, based on Coastal Commission staff recommendation, found substantial issue with some of the elements of the coastal permit and ordinance. As a result, that means that a de novo hearing will be set later on this year where the commission will act on that permit. That gives us time, staff time, to work with Coastal Commission staff to try to resolve some of the concerns that were raised by both staff and the commission. And our hope is that when we reach the de novo hearing, that permit will get over the finish line and we can move towards full implementation of the ordinance. In the meantime...
Before we hear about the meantime, which a mean time indeed it is. Two things. First of all, the Coastal Commission's refusing to rubber stamp the OVO, the Oversized Vehicle Ordinance, as it had did 5 or 6 years ago when the another ordinance, very similar, came before it, really may indicate that they're abandoning the whole thing. Reggie Meisler predicted that there would be an immediate revamping of the ordinance, that they would throw out the 100 feet limitation on during the 24-hour period, which was one of the chief hooks on which the commission hung their rejection of the ordinance. And even the staff of the Coastal Commission, which initially was giving the thumbs up to this repressive ordinance, backed down when the ACLU pointed out, look, you're going to remove 54% of the parking space in Santa Cruz for OVOs. It's obviously has a massive impact on the coastal zone, even though you claim homeless vehicles at night isn't worth a shit or considering. Nonetheless, this is, because after all, we're talking about mom and pop and folks visiting businesses and so forth. That's not how the ACLU put it. They were, in fact, focusing on homeless civil rights, but also upon the denial of coastal access to the general public. Huffaker did not bother to mention that there was no action after the Coastal Commission made a similar decision in the summer of 2016 and said, this must go to there's a substantial question here, must go to a de novo hearing, meaning a whole new hearing before the entire Coastal Commission. We're taking it out of the hands of the local coastal body because this question is significant enough for us to look at. In fact, in that point, there was just a very skeptical and hostile attitude when I presented my concerns to the Coastal Commission back in 2016, and it was quickly the city's attempt to do the same thing 6 years later was also quickly dumped this time as well. And so the issue then became, where is the appeal in 2016? If it was such a good ordinance then, why didn't they do something about it then? The answer was probably, although who knows what the inside story is, they feared it was going to be definitively rejected and set a precedent. Although I think for my money, they did set a precedent. It's just that our local coastal commission didn't have the ovaries or the balls to impose on it as an enforcement agency. And the county went ahead with its anti-OVO or its anti-vehicular ordinance, its oversized vehicle restrictions, or it's actually RV restrictions. I attempted to, and I'm still trying to find out what kind of negotiations, or I would say collusion, might even say conspiracy, happened between the local coastal commission and the sheriff's office, the county council. That's the legal guy who justifies what the board of supervisors does and the ordinances they pass, because the coastal commission has said you can't ban these vehicles unless you have a place for them to go, and also you need to have a showing that there's a real criminal problem with people parking at night, which calls for service. Mere calls for service stats does not show, because a lot of the calls for service are concerns about for people who just don't want to have RVs around. That makes them nervous, you know. Like them black people and them Chinese. You never could tell. They're very sneaky, I hear, you know. So that seems to be likely to come up again. And it's a little hard to fathom what Huffaker is really saying. Is he saying that they are indeed seriously going to go ahead and take the ordinance and challenge it anew, to take it up to the higher body just as it is? Reggie Meisler had thought they were going to have to dump part of the ordinance at least, make some changes and come back, which might involve going through the whole process again, costing people who want to fight it $700 to appeal it. A nice little aspect to the city's series of barriers to people who are trying to inject a little sanity into the political process in Santa Cruz. It it could mean that they are going to do what they did before, that is, say nothing, and the ordinance will just sit there, and they'll let the police and the sheriffs do what they're doing and hope that nobody complains too loudly. Now, because of all the hubbub raised, I was the only one who really challenged the ordinance in 2016. This time it was the ACLU, the Disability Rights Coalition, Santa Cruz Cares, and numerous supporters of homeless civil rights were also supportive of the appeal of against this OVO ordinance. It may be that the sheriffs and the city police and the volunteer police workers who want to go enforce the signs of restricting parking in the coastal zone that haven't gotten legitimate permits but have been there for years anyway and have served to harass and hassle people in their vehicles, it could be that these folks will, that the critics will keep such a close eye on authorities that they would be a little more nervous about being so cavalier about ticketing people when they have no sanction to do so and they have no real legal basis for doing so. In fact, when they're doing so against the findings of the Coastal Commission. But it's also true that, I got to say this, that the housed folks who and their interest in this civil rights issue for homeless people is often, it comes and goes. And there has been no, for example, true monitoring cop watch group set up that I'm aware of. There are some really vigorous cop watchers like Abby Samuels and other people who call Huff or the Union of the Homeless and report to Keith McHenry's Food Not Bombs. But there's no real systematized monitoring that keeps an eye on what they do. So they may feel they can just ignore the whole issue as far as seeking a coastal permit and do what they need to do. They won't try to enforce this particular ordinance, but they'll act as though the ordinance is there using other things like parking signs and other laws. This is what they have been doing regarding the sleeping ban, the old sleeping ban, which was dumped by the Martin versus Boise court decision, which said you can't ticket someone for sleeping unless you've got a place for them to sleep. That didn't matter. Andy Mills, the old police chief, simply said, oh, we're giving you a ticket instead for being in a closed area, giving you a ticket for, trespassing. We're giving you a ticket for blocking the sidewalk. Your ticket is for public nuisance. There's a variety of things they can give a ticket for, unless I may be repeating myself on one of those. But that's what they can do also with the oversized vehicle stuff, or if they want to get rid of RVs, oversized or not. So another thing to note is that this idea of pushing everything ahead 2 weeks is what the previous people in charge of the so-called homeless camping solutions, such as Lee Butler and Susie O'Hara, did all the time. They were constantly saying, we're working on this stuff. We're going to come back. We got another thing next. You'll get a full report later on. And this is a way of course, avoiding the fact that they have nothing that they really can do as far as expanding, providing real shelter for people. That indicates a wise use of the money that they've gotten. And it behooves the rest of us to rattle their cages, pound on their doors, camp on their doorsteps until we get some answers. Or you guys, anyway. You go camp, I'll report the news. Maybe I'll come by and interview you. So there's that. But that's the kind of direct action I think that needs to be done, unless you want to actually just go sit in people's offices until they give you some straight story. There's some discussion about doing that with Robert Ratner, the county guy. Anyway, let's get back to the wise words of Matt Huffaker.
Continue to prioritize establishing the Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 safe parking programs. That's not waiting on the outcome of this de novo hearing. We know it's important that we have safe sleeping options for all individuals that may need one, and staff is continuing to make progress on that work.
But that's not really very specific, is it? Nor have I heard any really good reports about these Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 program. There is no Tier 1 program, as far as any police officers have told me. And I was, you know, I actually talked to the big cheese himself, Escalante, when he was holding his gala national night out. And he didn't know, and others didn't seem to know either. They kept sort of shuffling around. And so there probably is, in theory, a space in the police department parking lot. But, and it may be also, and I've heard from Huff members who've kept an eye on this, that there are some RVs that are being left alone that are parked in a couple of the parking lots designated for the Tier 2 space. So, but the number of spaces available has nothing to do with the number of vehicles is actually out there, as I understand from I haven't counted them. And I haven't seen a study about it, but I don't think the city has either. If they have, you don't find it in their reports, or I haven't seen it in their reports. So that's to suggest that they're working on it, everything's fine. It's the same kind of they're there, the go to sleep, all is well sort of commentary. At least that's how I tend to regard it.
Lastly, I wanted to also just note and provide a quick update regarding the closure and restoration work around San Lorenzo Park and the Benchlands. This is a tremendous amount of work occurring across several departments working on the planned closure and restoration of the park. The first phase will include the fencing and closure of the upper park.
This is one of the few specifics, and he actually, I think, gives a specific date where this is going to happen, although the upper park isn't really the residence of people who are there generally. I mean, I think as they crammed more and more people in from the other campsites that they bulldozed, some people did move to the upper park before they were moved away by police. Again, I don't have a lot of clear specifics on this, but that's the kind of impression I've gotten. And remember, that's what I recollect from the last couple of weeks. But notice also the idea that the issue here is the restoration of the park rather than the fate of hundreds of people, not just because you might give a shit or not give a shit about their fate, but what that means for the health, peace, and safety of their interactions with the rest of the community and the health of the rest of the community if they're just dumped, which is really the only alternative, which is has been the go-to solution every time the Benchlands has been cleared in the last 4 years. And that's happened a number of times.
That will be followed with fencing and closure of the Benchlands itself. And the plan is to move through a phased closure and relocation of the campers that are currently residing in the park. That is contingent, of course, on also concurrently standing up additional shelter.
So he's trying to have it both ways. He's not giving you a specific date yet, though I believe that is going to come out, at least as far as the upper part goes. It's the language of prior city managers or homeless czars about what's going to happen. Vague language that enables them to sort of say, well, we didn't really promise it, but we were certainly aiming. We did the best we could without clarifying exactly what really was possible, the actual number of shelter spaces actually available, that were available, the number of people that were actually going to need them, and the number of people that were going to be simply dumped and told to fend for themselves, I guess providing more jailing opportunities.
Resources as part of that effort. So that work is ongoing. There's significant work happening every day.
That work is ongoing. There is significant work happening every day.
So in concert with our colleagues at the county.
in concert with our colleagues at the county, but nothing specific.
And Larry Amwali, our homelessness response manager, will have more details on that when he brings a quarterly update at your next...
We just don't have the quarterly update now for some reason, or even any indication of what's actually happening.
Meaning. That's all I have for now. Thank you for your time.
So he actually doesn't give any dates, but I believe he is prodded briefly by Justin Cummings.
May I ask a question?
Yes. Councilmember Kalantari Johnson, and then Councilmember Cummings.
Great. Thank you. When we get an update on August 23rd, will staff or can staff speak to the point in time count numbers that were just released and what the county's response to it is, as I understand, they heard about that today at their board meeting.
Yes, in fact, thanks for that question, Councilmember Kalantari Johnson. So just last week, the county released the results of the first point in time count that had been conducted since pre-pandemic. We do intend on providing an update to the council and the community as part of the quarterly response update. As you noted, the board received an update today.
So they intend to provide a response, and so they're hard at work, you see, but they just haven't got anything now, just as they didn't really have anything over the last 9 months as to where people were going to be going. Whether that problem was they're being flooded out or they decided they were going to mow down all the other campgrounds. It just, for some reason, it was something they were going to talk about later. It's okay. Things are in process. Things are in progress.
Thank you, Councilmember Kalantari Johnson. Councilmember Cummings?
Yep. Similarly, I'm wondering if there's any information on if the county is going to be standing up any additional services. I mean, I know that they just shut down the armory, and that has resulted in a lot of the people who were there didn't have a place to go now, either going to the Benchlands or potentially other points in the city. And it just be worth understanding, you know, how much shelter the county is providing currently versus the city, so that I think people can be aware of what role the city is playing, what role the county is playing. And, you know, if it's disproportionately that the city is taking on a lot of this, I think it might be worth a conversation of how do we try to see how other jurisdictions, in particular the county, can step up more to help us with shelter.
And this is actually very familiar coming from Justin Cummings, because this was the basis on which he allowed the demolition of the Ross camp 3 years ago. And he broke away from the coalition, the Progressive Coalition. He destroyed it by joining with the Matthews-Myers faction. His big deal was he was going to get on the county two-by-two committee, and it was the county's responsibility to provide all these problems. And if the Ross camp had to be dispersed or else, the county would not go along with this stuff. And I don't know the ins and outs or the validity or the accuracy of that particular claim, but I know this attempt to avoid responsibility and look to the county, this business of throwing the ball back and forth between the county and the city, although I don't know, I haven't been following the county carefully, so I can't say if they're doing exactly the same thing. But they certainly are abandoning their program up at the armory, and the city is supposedly picking it up. But the people who were dumped out of the armory, it was kind of a scandal. You may have heard some of the interviews I did about from a worker there, for instance, who was just angry at the behavior of the county and the way it was running the armory and the way it was dumping a bunch of disabled people out without any kind of resources and telling them, well, you know, in a month the city may be picking it up for you. But with no real increase in shelter, no significant increase, and certainly not significant enough to house people in the Benchlands, much less the rest of the homeless in the community generally. So, there's that.
Yeah, thanks for the comment, Councilmember Cummings. And we have been meeting with our county colleagues on a regular basis. We have emphasized the fact that standing up additional emergency shelter is and will continue to be one of our top priorities.
So they are doing a lot of emphasizing and meeting and so forth with the county colleagues. And I guess that, in a way, this is maybe what Cummings is saying. Do something so we won't be blamed. Please don't let the... It's the county's fault, right? 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 And maybe he's supplying him with the answer that he wants, but he's not giving an answer to the specific question about numbers of people. Now, I think this comes a little bit later. You at least get one date that he does speak about. Let's listen in.
We are pursuing housing on several fronts, and that includes home key projects to try to access some of the state funding, pursuing additional permanent supportive housing opportunities. Those are all important.
They're looking for more money, but we're not going to get any idea of how they spend it. At least we haven't so far, really.
And we have a desperate need for additional shelter spaces throughout the county. So.
And there certainly is a desperate need. That's why they're demolishing and clearing the benchlands where the priority seems to be restoring the park.
Those conversations are ongoing. We've stressed that importance with the county. And
ongoing conversations. Stress that importance. This is the rhetoric to help make you think something is happening, to give the illusion of progress without any substance.
We will continue to do so.
Thank you.
And Cummings, of course, has no follow-up. In other words, instead of saying, what do you mean? You mean, in other words, you're talking to them. When was the last conversation you had with them? What are they promising to give you? What kind of services are they offering? Is there any accounting for the amount of money they got? These are questions that the good Justin Cummings could have asked, but didn't. And so there's not a peep from Sandy Brown saying, can you please give us a report as to how many folks are going to be left without housing, what the actual number of shelter spaces is, and how many people do you actually count in RVs and throughout the county? How many people are being ticketed under criminalization of the homeless ordinances? These actually were questions that were asked 3 years ago and were demanded of the city attorney. And the city attorney actually presented a report, but it was never really publicized or discussed in the fall of 2019 because, of course, the focus was then on recalling Glover and Crone, the two council members who made up the activist section of the progressive majority when there was a progressive majority. Let's take a musical break.
I am no friend to the fathers and mothers, and I am no friend to the sisters and brothers, and I am no friend to the weak and distressed. And I am no friend to the poor and oppressed, but I'm a friend of the fetus, a friend of incomparable worth. I'm a friend of the fetus, right up to the moment of birth. Once it's a baby, I will not go near it. I will not feed it, and I will not rear it. And when it is crying, I won't even hear it. For I have no room in my heart for a human. But I'm a friend of the fetus, a friend of incomparable worth. I'm a friend of the fetus, right up to the moment of birth. I will not care for it, I won't be there for it, I will not weep for it, I won't lose sleep for it, I'll back away from it, I won't go gray from it, I will not pray for it, and I won't pay for it. But I'm a friend of the fetus, a friend of incomparable worth, not comparable. I'm a friend of the fetus, right up to the moment of birth. Let it get a job, right up to the moment of birth.
And that was Dave Lippman, Friend of the Fetus. You can also catch some of the video on the DaveLippman.com. That's LIPPMAN, in case you're interested, maybe playing a few more of his songs if we have any time. Here's a letter that Keith McHenry and Alicia Kuhl wrote to Matt Huffaker. I think I mentioned it earlier, kind of stemming from the meeting we had on Monday with about 25 or 30 people met, including almost 20 homeless folks, and many of them from the Benchlands, to discuss what to do next. And again, as I said before, next Monday, the 15th, is going to be a follow-up meeting. And there is also, I want to point out, there is a Joy Schindeldecker for Mayor launch party on Friday. Joy is a Huff member who's been coming to a number of Huff meetings, and she's also part of Santa Cruz Cares. I think she's a part of Love Boat, too, although I've probably got a few of these organizations mixed up, as well as Sanitation for the People. Is that the right? I don't know, but she's concerned with a lot of these issues, has been fighting or standing up for and serving homeless folks the last couple of years, and she's running for mayor. I've advised against it. I don't think running for mayor usually is such a hot idea, although it can provide a momentary platform. It tends to take away your energy, and if you get elected, it really takes away your energy, and it often just takes away your integrity. So, but here's what she writes. This, first of all, the launch party is happening tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the 11th, August 12th, 2022, at the Loudon Nelson Center from 5:30 to 7:30. Please join us. Now, I'm hoping that they'll finally have opened the Loudon Nelson bathrooms to the community by then. I guess you can claim you're part of the event, so you have a right to take a piss, instead of it's just being a privilege to pee, as the Loudon Nelson Center has been behaving for the last 2 or 3 years. Skidmark Bob, you should be ashamed of yourself. He's one of the caretakers of the Loudon Nelson. Anyway, her webpage, I'm not looking at, but I'm looking at a reminder that this is happening again at 5:30 to 7:30 tomorrow at the Loudon Nelson. She's running for mayor as part of a working class movement, she writes. They want to increase participatory democracy across our communities, hold council members and city decision makers accountable for the positive aspirational policies and declarations that have made, they have made, and contest the policies and practices that are unjust to maintain the status quo, break through the polarized rhetoric, continual blocking and real estate fingers in every pot, and instead work together with us, for us, to improve the lives of the majority Santa Cruzans, the underpaid and overworked tenants, essential workers, teachers, nurses, students, young people, people who care. Let's build our power. Let's have more grassroots and less astroturf. Nice rhetoric, and I would normally say, however, Joy has been making public statements on specific issues like the oversized vehicle ordinance, which mean a hell of a lot more than campaign rhetoric usually. It's what that kind of action is, stuff that I appreciate. I don't have a lot of specifics for you today other than her work on the oversized vehicle ordinance and, I suppose, Sanitation for the People, though I don't have the particular achievements there. But she's been involved for at least a year. I've seen her at these meetings, putting her in her time and energy. So I realize coming to meetings is one thing and doing things that are real is something else. But I'm encouraging you to, well, certainly consider the issues she supports. Here's this letter from Keith and Alicia that I want to read. It has come to our attention that you intend to start a closure of the Benchlands encampment located at San Lorenzo Park. To avoid speculation and to gain clarification, could you please provide the specific plan that you have in place for that closure? One, what date do you intend to start the process? Two, how many people will be moved and what spaces and capacities do you have the ability to relocate individuals? Three, what will happen to those that you don't have alternative locations for? Four, please provide any information that you have regarding the closure plans. We request this information so that we may continue to provide services to these individuals and assist them during this difficult process. Please respond with your plans before our next Monday, our next meeting on Monday. Thank you, Alicia Cool, Keith McHenry, and that was sent out on Tuesday. And Alicia Cool added, or perhaps both of them added, The people living at the Benchlands voted last night to invite you to hear how they are impacted by the city's policies so you can provide workable solutions to the crisis. Please join us, this is to Matt Huffaker, at the meeting, our meeting, Monday, August 15, 2022, starting at 6 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, 612 Ocean Street, Santa Cruz. And Huffaker did reply, and this is what he replied. Let's see, here we go. Good afternoon, Keith. This was on the 9th, so he replied on the same day that he got the letter. Good afternoon, Keith. Fencing and closure of the upper park will begin next week. So that would be presumably on the 15th. Following the closure of the upper park, limited fencing will be installed in the lower park, that's the Benchlands, dividing the Benchlands into segments. Closure of each segment of the Benchlands will be contingent on additional sheltering locations coming online. Now, before we start parsing these sentences, why would you put up a fence if not to impede the movement from one place to another? In other words, if they're closing a part of the Benchlands, why fence it off? A, to stop people perhaps from coming into that area, or possibly B, to stop people from leaving that area. It seemed like, oh, well, you just want to let people know how far this is going to go. But you don't have to put a fence up to do that. You can, draw a chalk line or a line in the area with some kind of substance so you can see what it is, or put a long string across the area, or a rope, so you can on the ground. You don't have to have a fence, but he's going to put up a fence. Closure of each segment of the Benchlands will be contingent on additional sheltering locations coming online. And this, of course, is, if true, it sounds very appropriate. It sounds like it's in line with both the law and humane considerations. But there aren't any such sheltering locations. So what he's really saying is there won't be any closure of the Benchlands until there are sheltering locations. He's putting it a little more, mildly, one might say deceptively. I don't know if it's deceptive, but it's contingent on additional sheltering locations coming online. Now, you might say he's trying to walk a careful line, Matt Huffaker is, not wishing to offend the bigots who want everybody cleared out immediately, or alarm the people living there who want to be able to relax at the, and not have their property at risk. And they have enough time defending it from thievery and rats in the Benchlands. And again, the next sentence that Huffaker responds is, our goal is to provide an alternative sheltering option to anyone in the park who wants shelter. Notice the words goal. This is straight out of the textbook, or I should say the playbook, of Susie O'Hara. The goal. So in other words, it's not a commitment to provide alternative sheltering, just a goal. I suppose this is so he cannot be accused of making outrageously false statements, and maybe he feels a certain honesty is required for his own integrity. I don't know. I mean, that would be nice. I would frankly consider it unlikely. To have taken this job, given the limited resources, and then put your reputation behind it, does not speak well of the person who does that, in my view. Anyway, he continues to write, the homelessness response team will be providing their quarterly homeless response update at the council's next meeting, which we heard before, including additional details and updates on the planned closure and restoration of San Lorenzo Park. This seems to imply he either doesn't know what this is or he won't say. So either it hasn't been cooked up yet, or he hasn't been let in on it, even though he's the highest official, or he simply doesn't want to tell us. Why? Broadly speaking, as mentioned above, the closure will occur in phases so as not to alarm the natives. You want to heat up the pot with the lobster in it. You do it slowly by degrees. this is perhaps, I don't know, a more alarmist kind of analysis of this. But it also seems to be a way of hitting one group off against another and saying, see, it's not going to happen to you, so don't get excited. Just happening to these guys over here, you know, those guys, you don't have to worry about them. As additional sheltering locations become available. Uh-huh. Where they are, no man or woman knows. There are plenty of places that could be, but they have not been proposed. City and county outreach teams are in the process of connecting with every individual. We're spending our money not on developing places for people to go and funding nonprofits that might actually provide such spaces and setting up a permit process so it could be done, funding service-providing organizations like Brent Adams Footbridge Services. Nah, we aren't going to do that. Instead, we're in the process of connecting with every individual in the camp and working to develop a rehousing plan for those interested in alternative shelter. And this, again, seems to me to be an ominous phrase that may indicate that this is really what they're going to be doing, is suggesting that those who don't go to the offered inadequate shelter are going to be called service resistant. And that is why I've suggested to people in various flyers, when asked, will you go to the shelter? They say, not no. But if they don't have to say yes either, unless that's what they really want to do. But instead to say, I have to talk to my service provider about it. I have to consider it. I have to hear more details and more information about it. And that's a way of hopefully avoiding being checked off as a service-resistant person who is no longer subject to the protections of the Martin versus Boise court decision. Let's have another musical break. And to give you a head start, here are the lyrics. Imagine you have health care. It's easy if you try. Freedom to choose your doctor. No extra stuff to buy. Imagine first-class treatment when you're unemployed. Imagine care for everyone. No greedy middleman. No premium. No copay. A single payer plan. Imagine long-term illness, but you don't lose your home. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but we have a commonwealth. I hope someday we'll join up and the world can live in health. Can you say universal? I wonder if you can. Now try comprehensive. Does that sound like a plan? It's worked for years in Europe, Canada, and Japan. You may say I'm a dreamer, that we have a commonwealth. I hope someday we'll join them and the world can live in health. So now I'm going to play a bit.
But it would be cheaper for us to just all get all the health care we needed and just take insurance industries completely out of the equation.
Imagine you have health care. It's easy if you try. Freedom to choose your doctor. No extra stuff to buy. Imagine first-class treatment when you're unemployed. Imagine care for everyone. No greedy middle.
So now I'm going to play a bit of the meeting last Monday on the 8th at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, where people who are outside spoke up angrily about conditions. Here's a woman in a wheelchair who I didn't catch all of what she had to say, but here's some of it.
I'm close enough to the entrance to go to the bathroom, get the services or whatever I need there. And I'm getting more help through the people at the benchness than I have in all these months up there. I have tried getting housing. I have tried everything possible. Everyone that has given me a run around for why I can't and this isn't. Or it's just not enough on this. So after the experience I have, no.
Unfortunately, much of this is inaudible, so I'm going to have to scour the tape, see if I can find something that is playable. Or you can come to the next meeting on Monday and hear people yourself with your own ears as to what's going on. Question them, see if you think that's authentic, see if you think that what they're saying rings true and is important, and speak up yourself on those issues. I'm going to try a little bit more of this because some of it is more audible, but it has its problems.
People had to get up in the morning and go to work, and they had to sit there and wait for the shuttle. And sometimes they don't have drivers for that shuttle, so some people have got fired for not showing up on work on time, and there's no excuse or anything with them saying, oh, well, we're sorry, we couldn't get a driver for today.
And what he's talking about is that there is no access to the overlook shelter and the armory shelter except by shuttle. You can't go in and out except on the schedule of the shuttle. And if you can't get to work, well, it's tough shit for you, I guess. Matt Huffaker said they're going to work on that issue.
And they end up with one shuttle.
Or people waiting hours.
I've seen people miss their methadone things in the morning because when I work for downtown street team, our shed's right there, the methadone thing. And I can see every time some of our workers, they show up late because the van is always getting late. Yeah? Because the first thing that they do is in the morning, the handicapped and the disabled are the ones that go down first to downtown. But the ones that work, they have to wait for the next bus or the next shot.
Now, Alicia, do you have? You know, I just want to say that all of these stories are hugely important as a way, you know, if reported or somehow transmitted to the general public, as a way to appeal to their sense of compassion and empathy. And that's you know, I kind of feel bad that we're not reporting this stuff right now, these stories right now. But regardless, I feel like there's also the way to appeal to the general public's sense of self-preservation, because we've seen over the past several years multiple examples of massive housing loss for a whole city because of the dry conditions and the high winds. And you push these people, and you know, fires have happened in the benchlands, and the fire department comes in, they put it out, and it's not that big of a deal, but pushing all these people into the coconut, you know, when it's intentional or accidental, on a windy, dry day, it's going to just wipe out half of the actual houses in Santa Cruz. And so, to see how blind the city council and the city managers are to that logical consequence of taking these people who have nowhere else to go and saying, get out. You can use these shelters that nobody wants to use because they're brutal, and they have conditions, and they don't allow pets, and blah, blah. And they're, what are they going to do? They're going to go where they can, which is the Pocatello and other forested areas, which is completely dry. And yeah, the authorities can pretend to close those off. They did that 2 years ago during the big fires and last year. But still, people will find their ways in because what else are they going to do? So I just feel like that's a strong argument to say, no, the bench is actually manageable and a safer place for these people to be than
So now, because I am rushed, I'm going to have to play, and I don't think it's entirely without good cause, and I think it's also useful to consider. This is from August 11th and 12th of 2015, I believe it is, and it's, I played it initially on the 13th of August in the Bathrop Spears broadside show that was actually when the days when we actually had callers and so forth and a real radio station. But lots of audio of the Freedom Sleepers, the group that Conscience in Action and Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and Legal Defense, and a variety of other groups got together, Funa Bombs, to sleep in front of City Hall demanding a change in the sleeping ban, and eventually at least getting a vote, but not getting a change, but actually paving the way, I think, for a change. So that's what you're going to hear now. A lot of it is self-explanatory, or at least is explained by some of the commentary I made at that time 7 years ago.
To what happened on Tuesday night at the town, at the city city hall, where a lot of us, a number of us, got citations. I think it was 7 or 8, mostly for being in the park. Some simply bad tickets, as the tickets that are not based on any real understanding of the law, any real understanding, any understanding at all, for example, lying on the sidewalk, which is not a crime in this area, obstructing the sidewalk, which is only a crime if you refuse to move when someone tries to walk by and they're not able to walk by your path, which is not the case for any of us. One of our strategies was, for at least some folks, once they're told by police to leave the park, that they did leave the park, and they set up their sleeping bag on the sidewalk in a non-obstructive manner. Police, however, were determined, partially, I think, because of the resistance of folks. There's a lot more resistance. I'm going to start playing some of the audio. I've been talking for 45 minutes. Let's see if I can actually get to what happened on at least some of my perspective, some of the audio I took on the evening of the 11th, and I think in the early morning of the 12th. So let's hear some of that.
I'm counting, doing a walk around 11:30 around the premises. I'm counting 7 on the bricks sleeping, and probably 5 or 6 more people kind of wandering about having sandwiches. And we hear a couple people.
The bricks are an area that is in front of City Hall, but not part of the sidewalk. It is, the police regard it as part of the so-called park that is closed after 10 o'clock at night, or in this case, somewhat later, 10:30, 11 o'clock, because City Hall, the City Council meeting meets at City Hall, and it's half an hour after they leave. That also is the closing time, according to the written sign that sits there, essentially abrogating people's constitutional rights to be at the center of their government at night.
Rustling the bushes, I'm counting. Let's add 2 more, maybe 9, as I walk around City Hall, the rose bush area.
It's counting the number of sleepers.
Stirring in the bushes. And it's a very placid night. A little chilly. It's been warm all day, and it's now beginning to, the warmth is kind of coming and dissipating. Well, I'm at the City Council agenda glassed-in area, which is right next to the door, the City Council chambers, to see if there are any upcoming meetings in the next 72 hours which have agendas posted. If there are, they're required to be accessible 24 hours a day during the next 72 hours. But I'm not finding a lot. I'm finding there's a zoning administrator hearing on the 19th, but today is the 11th, soon to be the 12th. And I'm not finding much else. Ah, here's something. Here's the Library Facilities Financing Authority Joint Powers Authority Board, Thursday, August 6, 2015, at 224 Church Street, public meeting at 9 a.m. That is day after tomorrow. No, that was last week. Scratch that.
Anything interesting?
Sorry?
Anything of...
I'm looking over the agendas to see if anything is actually coming up in the next 3 days.
That is worthwhile.
Oh, not necessarily, but it means we can look at the agendas because they're required to be public during that period of time.
All right.
So actually there is something for August 13th.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be a regular meeting, August 13th and 14th, 5 and 2 p.m., Police Community Relations at the Water Supply Advisory Committee agenda, strangely enough. And that's happening in the community room of the police department. Then there is another, then what the specific agenda is here, the 5 to 9:30 p.m. agenda. This and there's one on the 13th and one on the 14th. Today, of course, is the 11th. That is within 72 hours. So for those who want to, there is a water supply advisory committee agenda that needs to be accessible to the public. And, of course, we have tonight's city council agenda, which has already happened. So I count one guy in the corner of the building, and then over here on the grass, we have two, three, four, or more. That makes 13. A guy without a blanket.
I'm surprised.
15. Eight. 16, 17, 18, 19. I count 19 people sleeping. That's here comes number 20.
Yeah, I was just by a dog. I almost blocked by a little.
Where was it?
In a wood off
the road.
These are boomerangs. We'll come back. I said, relatively. Is it all relative?
No, 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 no. So we have a squad car just pulled over and stopped.
No, the lights are off.
Yeah, perfect.
So they're keeping an eye on us, perhaps, over by the library. The squad car is here. And we have our signs have been moved from the fountain area down to the brick area where the directory sign is. Here's the second squad car has arrived. Second squad car is here, photographers. Station wagon. Two squad cars are arriving. And there are two more squad cars over to the side, perhaps three. Ah, looks like a major number of squad cars tonight. Get those cameras out, folks. So we have the arrival of police officers. And we have two female police officers, one male police officer. And the police officers are now in the area around the flag, talking with Abby, and they're asking folks to leave after hours.
Hey, there's someone over there yelling right now.
Hey, good evening. Good evening. Thank you. What's your name, officer?
McBride.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Courtesy is always important in these situations. You might learn that. So there's a. Abby's advising people to move to the sidewalk. And the officers are shining their flashlights on people all different points in the grass. And And they're saying parks after hours. Three officers are confronting someone in a sleeping bag. I'm going to try to catch a better view of it around on the access side. And the officer is writing a citation for one of the individuals. There are actually two of them. One of them is Mel Nunez, who's an activist. He's slowly waking up. I'm counting police officers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, possibly 8 police officers. And they continue to shine flashlights on a homeless man who's trying to sleep. And there are two people over here. One of them seems to be waking up. And they're taking this man's information. And they're also surrounding the shower, the portable shower.
The portable shower is a tent, which is sort of a makeshift shower that folks use, donated by Food Not Bombs and available on the weekends at Food Not Bombs often, where they have a 4-to-6 meal at the main post office Saturdays and Sundays. The significance of a shower is, with the closing of the Homeless Lack of Services Center showers and the closing of the showers on the beaches, where you're no longer allowed to take showers there either, the general community has been cut off because of the water situation. There's only limited places. Amora Street, the St. Francis Soup Kitchen, is one place to go during the weekdays to get a shower. If, you know, you're able to get in the line and so forth. I'm not sure how accessible it is and how difficult it is to get in. Also, you have to be on their good side to get to a shower. People don't seem to understand this is really a key element of a lot of homeless so-called services. Now, why don't they just follow the rules? They could be on the good side. Well, imagine if you're trying to live in a house where you have to be on a particular boss's good side every time you come in. One, it can be a difficult road to hoe, particularly if you're homeless or struggling to do all kinds of other things, not able to store your property there during the day, facing a lot of authorities throughout the day who are making demands on you, implicit demands on you, not to sit here, not to sit there, keep moving here, get out of this park over there, and so forth, and to face this at night as well. It is really a form of pressure, which it can be difficult. Mike, you've been homeless yourself. Do you have any comments on this kind of a situation? Am I exaggerating or?
No, I think you're quite right. There's a lot of problems trying to exist when you're homeless. That's why they die 20 years before the average age for men and women. They die young, you know, and that's part of the reason because. They're exposed not only that they're exposed to the element, but they're exposed to the strong arm of the law and abuse from the community. You know, basically.
Yeah, I think it's also a form of implicit abuse. It's a sort of don't watch out. You're on a series of tripwires. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't sit here. It's not that everyone's always telling you this. Don't light up a cigarette near here if you're a tobacco addict. Don't dare to use medical marijuana anywhere outside unless you have to be 1,000 feet away from any school, community center. I mean, there's a whole series of things that makes almost all of Santa Cruz theoretically illegal for people to medicate with marijuana. I think that's unconstitutional and violates Proposition 215, but I think that's still the case. But let's hear some more from this, I guess, is early Wednesday morning at the City Hall, the Freedom Sleepers. I'm on the access way to
the agendas, but I'm going to have to leave the access way in order to keep an eye as to what's going on over here. There, Steve Plage and Abby are carrying the shower. It looks like it's been used recently.
Yes.
Hang on.
Real good. And looks like three folks are carrying the shower off to from its place on the grass toward the side.
That guy is. He's one of your officers. Why don't you arrest him?
Max is upset that the
because if it's a safety issue, that's a safety issue too.
He's not trying to get my eyes.
And there's an officer who I recognize. Folks again are moving their property to the sidewalk. Other officers are surrounding and harassing people who are at the seat of city government at night, where they have the right to be. Whatever the police want to call this area, and we're also on an access way through the park.
You're violating law by harassing us.
And as I will explain later and have explained before on this show, being on an access way that's clearly marked and specifically designated through the area makes you immune from the park closing law in any area so closed. That's a way of saying you can walk through parks but can't linger in them or can't. Actually, the word linger isn't moved. The actual wording of the ordinance actually allows you to linger on the access ways. It doesn't explicitly say that, but it doesn't prohibit it either. So it is essentially, a legalistic loophole that I was hoping, and I'm still hoping, that the courts will acknowledge should give the defendants the right to say, look, the law is not specific enough here. It doesn't state you can't stay on this access way for as long as you want. And that was, I actually got a ticket later on an access way. We're going to hear more about that as we proceed.
You're violating the law.
Thank you.
We're having a protest. It's our First Amendment right.
This is actually a public access way through a park, so they're not violating law. It doesn't matter. There's a public access way through it.
You know the drill. Come on.
I do, too. I'll show you the law.
I'm saying you know the drill. It's a park. You can't be here after hours.
Public access way through the park is the exception to that. Do you want me to show you the law?
So that is a public access.
This is a public access. This is.
We're over here.
Right, but I am. And the person you just spoke to was, so... Well, it's true. They're slightly off of it. If you move on to the public access way, you are, I think, completely legal. So.
As long as you go to the street, we don't have a problem.
All right, there you go. Now we're legal. We're on the public access way through the park.
Robert, this is the park.
Doesn't matter.
Public access way.
It is. But
you need to get off this public access way because the park is closed. There's no reason to move through here.
That's the exception.
The officers who are talking, I believe, the main officer leading this group of armed police officers, I know police officers are naturally armed, but, a bunch of guys in costumes operating in military formation who are telling you to abandon your rights, whether they're doing so with smiles or without. It's quite a... To me, it's not something we should be accepting unless there's a legitimate reason for what they're doing that. In any case, Sergeant Forbes, and I think it's David Forbes. There are two Forbeses on the police department, or there were. And there is also an officer, Winston, who was involved. And Winston has been notorious in other earlier times, and I haven't heard of many complaints about him recently, a few perhaps. But let's hear some more. But Forbes, who leads this gang of bluecoats, so to speak, was denying us the right to be there and ignoring the law. I mean, I presented it to him. And then finally, an officer began to look it up and pointed out there was such a law. But that didn't deter Sergeant Forbes.
There is, because there's an agenda, which I have the right to see anytime, 24 hours a day.
You don't have to get angry, man. No one needs to be raising their voice, all right? We understand why you're here. We have to go ahead and enforce the law. We're asking you guys to leave.
Well, then you should enforce the code that says that I have the right to look at the agenda when I want to, but you're not enforcing that.
He's upset with that. He's been given some citations for being here. And he's right. He has the right to view the agenda within 72 hours.
Okay.
It's posted.
Now what you're really doing is just making it so this way people who don't have money can't sleep, so this way we have to go pay the rich landlords who you really work for.
Robert, since you seem to understand what's going on, can you explain to him it's making this worse for everybody? All right, this is not what we're out here to do. We realize people are upset, but we're not here to have any kind of conversation with anybody. So,
well, we aren't either. We're just simply trying to, you know, exercise the right to be at City Hall at night.
You're making it worse. You're making a threat.
So I'll ask you if you can.
And if you're making a threat, you're liable.
Can we get a flashlight? I'm going to show you the law, and maybe I misunderstand the law. If you understand the law better than I do, then I would be happy to be aware of that.
In the park, after hours, any city park, this is considered a park.
Unless you're on a public access way through it. That's what the part of the law is. So that's
what we understand. This is not a public access way. This is an access way to the building. Okay, but
where the agenda is.
Yeah, where the agendas are. We also have access. There's an agenda up there that is for 2 days hence. We have the right to access it through this area. So
how are you going to access the agenda?
By walking over to it. We can get, you know, we can do so.
Why don't you go ahead and do that and get what we need to get and move on, and that way everyone can get what they want out of this, okay? But you guys are in the park after hours, so that's why we're asking people to leave.
Right, but we also have the right to access it 24 hours a day.
Go for it.
And to go access it again 5 minutes later if we
wish.
Well,
that's not really reasonable, is it?
Well, it's true, though. Okay. It's part of the law. So, I'm not trying to be unreasonable to you. I'm just trying to tell you what the reality is.
I know you're saying. I know why you guys are here.
Yeah.
But this is why we're out here. So if you guys wouldn't mind to get the information you need, that's great. And you know when the park opens up, so you guys can come back, okay? Thank you.
Well, I don't think it's okay, and I understand that you do.
Can you do me a favor? Make sure all those candles get blown out, because we got dry grass around here. We're obviously not watering. We don't want a fire. That would be a really poor representation.
Do you actually
protest?
No, I understand. Do you think there's actually a risk of a fire here?
That thing gets tipped over at Spark, and this is dry grass. No one's using candles.
Wet grass.
Well, you know what? I'm not willing to make that that risk. Okay.
It's wet.
It's fire season.
So there was an area where there were a series of candles in a circle, and the cop was saying, I want you to pick up your candles and blow them out because, you know, it's a fire season. Now the grass was wet. So, I mean, it was an example of do this, do that, follow my orders, which police officers perhaps are trained to require people to do as part of a strategy of compliance, perhaps, I don't know, or maybe it just becomes a professional deformation for police officers. But it can be extremely aggravating to anybody. Free individuals don't like being told what to do, and there's no rational reason for it, or when it's something that they should have the choice to do without being directed. I mean, imagine if some other person without a uniform, a gun, and a bunch of other thugs behind him, and I'm saying thugs not because any of these individuals as people are thugs, but when they act in that fashion, they lend themselves to that kind of description. Imagine how you'd feel if an individual came up to you and said, okay, you better blow that out and get out of here, you know, that sort of thing. That it smacks of not just bullying, but a kind of a profound intimidation that is itself criminal. In the sense that it denies you a kind of basic right. And it not just denies you a basic right, it treats you like shit. And that's what we, you know, don't want to see happening in our community, and which, of course, is becoming more and more allowed if you're in a position of authority, and particularly if you do so with a smile and a gentle voice and that sort of thing. But the question is, what's happening in substance here? So let's hear some more.
So let's use some common sense here and not get anything
is
going.
Is it Officer Forbus or is it Sergeant Forbus?
Sergeant. That's what the stripes.
Sorry, Sergeant.
That's all right.
I didn't notice you in the darkness. But, no, I don't think there's a fire danger, but I appreciate
you know
your
what?
Concern.
We're going to blow them out, all right? We don't want a fire.
Well, you're trying to blow out lights in more than one sense. I agree. So the officers are telling us we have to leave the center of government, City Hall, which, even though the buildings are closed, this area is an area where the people have the right to assemble, particularly the public access ways, which are specifically itemized in the ordinance. So as far as I'm concerned, people have a right to be at least on these public access ways, and I think they also have the right to be in the rest of the grounds because this is City Hall. You don't close down City Hall at night. That's not legal. It's the center of government. particularly when you're trying to harass poor and homeless people.
We're not committing a crime. You have no reason to issue an order to disperse. This is a protest.
And that's, and also we are petitioning the government for a redress of grievances. And I can show you the petition. In fact,
ordinances don't qualify as a crime.
But I don't think the officers are listening. Understandably, they want to keep their jobs still. I recognize Officer Winston over there. He's part of this group. It is a group, fairly large group of officers. We have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, at least 10 officers here. And Sergeant Forbes is advising folks to put out candles claiming there's a fire danger on wet grass. It would be far more credible if the police department wasn't telling us these stories. Come on, guys. So again, counting the officers, I'm again going to do a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I count 10. So how are you guys doing tonight?
Excellent.
Good. Good.
Where can we go for tonight so you guys don't...
I cannot give any recommendations. I'm asking you guys to leave the park, okay?
They're telling you to...
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I just want to know...
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for asking. Yeah, it's good.
That's the real question. If you're going to drive people away from here, you must give them a legal place to go where they can sleep.
Well, we're not going
to
be at least bothered.
And I don't hear anybody doing that, so...
Obviously, there's no internet access for us right now. We can't do any research. What are we supposed to do for tonight, for the meantime?
Well, you guys need to leave this place, so that's what we're asking you to do. Otherwise, people get tickets. So,
again, this is one of the three access ways through, so as long as we're on this access way, I don't believe that a ticket will be legal.
Rob, you're going to get cited for it if you're not here, so that's why we're asking to leave, okay? You guys
I understand.
Judge, that's fine.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a false arrest, and you'll be held liable for it, you know.
Okay.
Is it okay? I don't think so. Also, you're violating these people's rights, their right to sleep legally, not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere. I'll show you the ordinance. It's 13.04.011, and it's Section C, if you'd like to take a look.
These guys don't want to leave us, so I'll take it from our side.
At this point, they take a look on their little iPod, phone, smartphone. One officer does look up the ordinance,
and one of the officers is showing.
Mr. Norris is going to be the first one.
This is the access way right here.
We're not debating that, Robert. The park is closed after hours. I've already given you the opportunity to get whatever information you need. So,
well, right now I'm preoccupied with this situation, but I'm happy to
be preoccupied out there. All right, we've been more than
well. This is the public access way. I have a right to be on this access way. That's my understanding.
Where are you going? What are you trying to access?
I am trying to.
You haven't gone anywhere.
It doesn't really say what I have. It doesn't say what I have to access.
You have to be going anywhere.
Last chance. If you guys want to debate it, of course, the place to do it. Okay.
Well, I'm going
to
go access a few agendas, but I'll be right back.
Go for it.
Right now, I'm accessing what's happening with you guys.
I just asked you a plain question. Commissioner, you're being cited, officer, so I need you to stand still.
I just asked you.
So you are illegally giving me a citation, though I'm on a public access way. Is that correct? What's your name?
Officer Rodriguez.
And your sergeant's name is?
Sergeant Forbes.
Yes, the same one we just spoke with. So even though you acknowledge we're on an access way, I'm asking you, are we on an access way? I'd like to know that.
I am not going to confront you on this. I'm not going to...
Are we standing on bricks?
We could argue this in court, sir.
I don't want to argue anything. I'm asking you if we're on an access way, that's all.
This is a park, sir. This whole area is a park. You're in there after hours.
So you're denying the right to be on an access way. Do I understand that? That's what you're saying. No one could be in the park at all. Is that correct?
Not after hours, sir.
Okay, then you are obviously misinterpreting the law here. You've just been informed of the law by one of your fellow
actors.
What is your full name, sir?
You've been advised by these
officers who just looked up the law, who told you there was an exception to this particular ordinance, and you're telling me that everywhere in the park it is illegal. You know who I am.
I don't know your full name, and I don't know your date of birth, Mr. Norris. I just know you as Robert Norris. I don't know your full name. I don't know your date of birth, sir. I don't know your address.
I know you don't.
I need that stuff.
I mean, I think you probably do, actually.
Are you refusing, sir?
I'm not refusing.
Okay, can I get your full name?
But I think you have my name in your
full name.
You have my name in the records, right?
I don't have records in front of me, as you can see. Mr. Norris, last time, are you refusing to identify yourself?
No, I'm not refusing. You're calling me Mr. Norris. You know who I am.
I know your name. I don't know your date of birth, and I don't know your address.
It's all on your computer, and you know that.
This is the last chance. I've given you several opportunities. I am going to arrest you for failing to identify yourself to a police officer.
Are you serious?
Yes.
He doesn't have access to those computers you're talking about.
Mr. Norris, what's it going to be here, sir?
He has no access to a computer? Are you serious?
He's standing in a park.
So he doesn't have access to it.
Can I get your full name, please?
Robert Norris is my name.
What's your date of birth, sir?
May 30th, 1947. Hey, how's it going, Abby?
How about your address, sir?
309 Cedar, as you would find on your computer.
Which he doesn't have.
Which you would get if you walked off the park and you went to your squad car.
No, cars don't access that.
Oh, come on.
It is ridiculous. I agree with that.
You have it on a police computer. You can get it anytime you want once you get to your station, if nothing else.
Right.
Come on.
But we're not going to the station.
Well, but you will be eventually.
Mr. Norris, what color eyes do you have, sir?
I don't know. Dark brown, something like that.
Okay, how tall are you? How much do you weigh?
6 feet.
How much do you weigh?
220. This is a real waste of time for you guys, I got to tell you.
Sure is.
Well, at least I have one individual agrees with me. We don't always agree, either. So it appears police officers are harassing people in front of the park area as well. In front of the City Hall area that has been designated a park in order to drive away protesters. And the officer is writing me a citation now that we're all standing, including two other officers, actually four other officers. Officer Winston is off to the side. Three other officers. What's your name?
May I help you, sir?
Officer?
No, the park's closed, sir.
Public access way is open, and you're denying that man water, Winston, is that correct?
That's correct.
What I told him was the park is closed.
Oh. Well,
he recorded that.
The indication of your voice was, don't go up there. The park is closed.
That's correct.
Well, then you're denying him access to water, Winston.
We can go water many other places.
Really? Name one other place where you can get water this time of night.
7-Eleven.
You think they'll give him water if he walks in? Come on.
7-Eleven is what Winston said.
Jim Schnorr. They're being served for being in the park after hours.
And your name is?
Officer Rodriguez.
Thank you, Officer Rodriguez.
Okay. I need you to sign inside the red box, sir, that you are not admitting the guilt. You're just promising to take care of this citation.
What's your name, officer?
Within 30 days.
You want to stand closer so I can see it? Or tell me? Officer,
you already know who I am, so we're not going to play the name
game. I'm not trying to play the name game, officer. I don't remember what his name all the time. And you are?
Are you refusing to sign the citation,
Officer Gomez, thank you. Yes, yes. Am I going to sign the citation? That's a very good question.
Are you?
If you take me to jail, that would be an opportunity for a nice lawsuit, wouldn't it? Does everybody mind if I go to jail tonight? I'll sign it. Give me this.
Mr. Norris, you're also being given a 24-hour vacate from this City Hall, sir, from
really?
The park.
Yes. You better put that in writing.
That's yes, sir. Stay away order.
After hours and 24-hour vacate warning per subsection 13.08.100 of Santa Cruz Municipal Code. Okay?
No, it's not okay, but I understand what you said.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Here you go, Mr. Norris. You please need to now vacate the
park. No, you need to go on the sidewalk, out in front.
Okay?
Well, let's see. Everybody else is gone.
Yes, they're all gone.
Really? I'm cooperating.
All right, it's our first stay away order, folks.
No, it's yours.
Yep, well, it's our first one.
Well, I don't. You're the one that signed it.
I did.
You're the one that was yelling back there.
I was.
Well, why did you yell like that?
I wasn't happy.
We'll make sure it doesn't obstruct.
I don't want to argue. It is obstructing.
This gentleman here is not obstructing, and he's getting a ticket right now. He's legally allowed.
So I'm back on the sidewalk here, and Max is.
You have the right to be sleeping there.
Yeah, but he needs to learn that.
Kevin is getting a citation while lying next to my car, but not obstructing the sidewalk. He's only lying on about half of it. Are you getting a picture of this?
Yeah, kind of a dark one, but certainly getting a picture.
No. He's legally allowed to do on the sidewalk.
Right. He has a machine on the sidewalk right
go,
now.
Go read the quotes
okay.
Over there.
I'll deal with him.
So an officer is.
I don't think it says that on here.
No.
It says in the following.
Declining to move when.
Six one way, half dozen the other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything here about parking spaces. It says in the commercial zones
obstructing
and residential zones and tour zones.
Something about obstructing.
And we're not in any of those areas.
No one's trying to move past here.
And we're not obstructing.
Okay.
But what you're saying is a different ordinance that you have vetting, is what you're saying.
That is.
And what ordinance is that?
Separate from this one. It's the 636 series. So you may want to look at that.
636 series.
Yeah.
I appreciate you at least listening. What's his name, please, if you could tell me?
Who's that?
The guy giving...
Officer Bailey?
Bailey.
Okay.
Officer Bailey.
Okay.
Would
like
not
I
look
said,
at this.
Folks, we do need to get this stuff cleared away so
no, we're
people
not.
Have access,
you,
okay?
No, we're not clearing. You
no? We can take all of it?
Yeah, you
okay,
please
we'll do that.
Exactly.
So the police are now threatening to remove the food tables and the tables with the produce, even though there's half the sidewalk that is clearly accessible through it. This is the first time police have descended to this level. I'm not sure why we have this kind of problem tonight.
They had a meeting about it. I mean, with the show of force out here, they had a meeting.
Possibly,
about it. Exactly
possibly.
All of them are counseled not to say anything, not to give anywhere else for us to go to. I'm sure there was a bulleted list that they probably had on
possibly
the chalkboard.
Possibly.
That told everybody exactly what to do.
All right.
That's why you should find out who the ranking officer is on the scene.
Yeah, I think it's Sergeant Forbes. And Louise and Phil Posner are talking with one of the officers.
Okay. So we just need to have you guys clear this up, all right? I don't want to have to take
clear
this up.
You guys were invited to take the veggies.
Oh, were we?
Yes.
Well, I don't want to take anything if everybody else is here. So let's let it.
Lucero is holding up a sign. Sleep deprivation is a crime. Officers are continuing to write more citations, more harassment of homeless people. But note the original, the policy of officers to engage in numerous threats, such as the threat to take all the tables, at which point when Abby Samuels stood up to them and said, no, good, take what you need to, that's fine, then they said, oh, okay, we aren't going to take them. In other words, if they can intimidate you and threaten you into doing what they want, they will. It doesn't matter whether there's a legal justification for it or not. It's just if it seems to be in accord with their objective in getting you to do what they want to do, which in this case was to get us to leave, not just to leave the park, because we had left the park. Now we were on the sidewalk. You're listening to audio from the night of Tuesday the 11th, actually now it's Wednesday the 12th in the very early morning hours, outside City Hall along the sidewalk that borders Cedar Street, I believe it is. No, it's one over from Cedar Street. It's, it's the street between Cedar Street and Chestnut Street, and Center Street, that's what it is. There we go. Who have no way to pay these citations, who have no legal place to sleep, and who have no other options here. Right around the corner.
Did you hear this?
What?
He says, we're obstructing because if Louise and I are walking hand in hand, and if someone else comes,
yeah,
then they can't get by.
The hypotheticals don't count. What's this officer's name? What's your name, sir? I can't read it. I'm sorry. It's dark. What is it? Can you tell me, please?
It's Officer Amy.
Thank you, Officer Amy. If you're claiming that obstructing the sidewalk means it requires two people hand in hand to walk along, you know better than that, or you should. Obstructing the sidewalk means not moving when asked to move. If someone is walking and tries to get past, not theoretically, but in actual practice. Are you aware of that?
And I was, where did you come
he
up?
He doesn't give me an answer to that
one. Here's the thing. When you obstruct the sidewalk, you're blocking access.
Right.
Okay.
But you're saying that if two people, as long as two people can not walk hand in hand, we're obstructing.
No, I'm you misspelled my name. Now, how could you do that?
Because I don't know you.
Well, let's get to know each other. Now, come on.
196, go ahead.
So, you have another person walking the other
way. And you have another person walking the other way. They should be able to.
Can you give me the full name, spelling, and
people move
ID number?
They do, but you should be able to do
that. They have to stop or something like that.
I'm known as Robert Norris Khan or Robert Norris Sidewalk. Either way.
0950.
Do I disagree with it? Do people move? Absolutely they do. Also, some people don't, and that's where issues arise.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to change your name on here.
You can if you want. It's Robert Norris or Robert Norris Khan. Take your pick.
Thank you.
Either one.
And the police don't have...
And both are equally valid, so I'm not trying to evade any kind of situation.
I didn't know who you were.
Well, now you do.
Now I do. And I am Officer Rodriguez. Nice to meet you, sir.
Yeah, not too nice to meet you under these circumstances, Officer.
I know.
Which Supreme Court?
Our own Supreme Court.
By the way,
Washington.
Oh, the big one.
The big one. Yeah, the Supreme Court said police don't have
to be comfortable. We can show you that two couples can pass.
Yeah, they can just say...
So people continue to film this, even though the so-called park includes the bricks, and I have not yet been given I've got a stay-away order if you want to challenge it.
Good, there you go, good. Well, finally got a plaintiff.
Unfortunately, it's only for 24 hours, but I could come back, get a second infraction.
Does that mean you can't be on the sidewalk?
No, I don't think. I mean, I've not yet been challenged. Yes.
Need you to note this.
What do you got?
I changed your name. Rob Norris Khan.
Okay.
You put your ID number there. C5888-0950.
No idea, but maybe.
Okay. That's the only thing I changed in the citation. Understood?
Sure. No problem.
So how are you doing?
Thank you, Mr. Norris.
All right.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey.
Hey.
Laura.
Hey.
Where's my hug? All right.
No hat.
How about 7-Eleven?
No hat.
Maybe 11.
Oh, dude, I don't get off till in the morning.
So police are adopting a more stringent attitude tonight. There's a line of them that are blocking people from returning. Not that anyone wants to at this point. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm counting them. 6, 7, 8, 9. I count 9 now. So it's 9 or 10 officers here.
River Street across from the Tanner Yard Center. There's a road called Golf Club Drive. There's a camp
right there. You're going to pay, sir?
How much does it cost?
You're going to pay?
I have no idea.
Is it free?
I don't know.
Is it open?
Yeah, it's open.
What's it called?
Do you believe it could be?
It's on Golf Street. It's right up there. By
honestly, I don't know. I've seen people camp there. I have never asked them if they paid or anything.
Think about Bob's Pine Grove Campground?
That might be it. On Golf Club? Is that
maybe. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I don't know what the name
but
is.
But I thought that was closed years ago. Maybe it's reopened.
It's open. We've been there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And when was the last time you were there?
A month ago.
Really? What, in a complaint or you just happened to be passing by?
No, there was an issue there.
Okay. Do you have no more details on this campground?
Other than the location, yeah, I don't know who to contact, how to get in there. I don't know.
Did you notice how many people were there?
Well, it was probably 3 in the morning, so it was pretty dark, but there was at least probably 4 other camp tents there.
An organized campground?
Yeah. Tables.
He said
it's tables and restrooms.
I hadn't heard of that for a while. Thank you.
However, that doesn't help us tonight. People need a place to sleep now, not sometime hence. And they don't have the option to go to campgrounds. These are poor people. These police officers are harassing poor people who have no choices, giving $198 citations to poor people.
Will it be able to be enforced anyway? They can't enforce any of those tickets.
I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. There are about 18 or 20 of us on the sidewalk.
Find out that they're not even on the docket. They won't even run those tickets through.
We'll show up on the docket, I'm afraid. Already prior tickets have shown up, unfortunately. I'm going to see the number of squad cars that are still here. And there are some are refusing to move. Give your full name if you don't leave, so we can follow you. Are you going to stay? You planning to stay?
I'm staying.
What's your legal name?
Jake Eitel.
How do you spell it?
E-I-T-E-L. Jake.
Jake Eitel. E-I-T-E-L. Date of birth?
11673.
11673. Thank you. Because you're likely to be arrested. Well, I don't know. It depends on what they choose to do.
You can pick it up for us.
Cited or arrested.
No, you're...
And Jake was, I believe, one of two men lying on the bricks covered with a blanket. The bricks still are being regarded as a part of the City Hall courtyard, hence a part of the quote, park or closed area, which was about 3 feet from the sidewalk. It's the area right in front of City Hall where there's a directory sign and sort of a low-lying wall where you can sit down. And he stated he was refusing to move, and this really became the key issue as far as I could see. The people were willing to stand up to bullying, the police bullying and the police threats and the police ticketing, and again assert their right to be at the center of government and also of homeless people to be able to sleep at night. And they were going to continue to assert that right regardless of the show of armed force that was happening there. This is the first night this really happened with this kind of intensity. We saw several people, I guess the second night when Louise Posner stood up and when she went back onto the park area after everyone had left, and one guy, Max, who had asserted his right to stay there, I'm not getting up from my sleeping bag, and when Louise went over to be supportive, I too was there audioing it, she was told she had to leave or she'd get a ticket, and she said, then I'm staying, give me a ticket. And that kind of sense of conscience that suddenly sparks in the moment, a kind of defiant determination to retain your rights, not to surrender them under threat, is what may win this struggle eventually. This does not mean it should be done capriciously. It often is done impulsively, but it shouldn't be done capriciously because there are real consequences to getting these citations. You're going to have to go to court or pay money or hope that the officer doesn't appear. So there are real, real consequences, particularly if you return and they start trying to charge you with a misdemeanor, a more serious crime for returning. Of course, it's not a serious crime. It is a serious violation of your constitutional rights that they're engaged in. But to bring that to light and to make it a real public issue that then stops them from doing it is the challenge.
You're going to have an address for them to send a ticket to, or they're going to arrest you.
Normally, this place is spotless with brooms. It's cleaner than when we came in the morning. No, we're not cleaning it up now.
That's part of the problem. It's the mess.
No.
Thank you, ma'am.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're kicking us out. We'll clean it up in the morning at 8:30 in the morning when we leave.
This is the kind of double talk and twisted turning back on homeless people stereotypes that police themselves are creating problems that they then blame homeless people for. The organizers of this protest, as far as I know, created a very clean situation in all the previous four sleepouts. I wasn't around, but I heard no complaints about it. And Abby Samuels is pretty good at that. She's a local Food Not Bombs co-founder here, or at least a strong activist who's been working with it for months and months and months now. And she does this kind of cleanup every weekend on Saturday and Sunday at the post office. And she and others did so, I believe, in all the past sleepouts. But the officers, intent again on enforcing compliance, it's kind of a little bit like the Stanford prison experiment. You give people power, you give them uniforms, you give them a task to the right to clear away and exercise authority over other people, and they start taking it further. And here you heard the officer telling Abby, you have to clean this up. And she said, we're not going to clean this up. You're driving us away. Tomorrow morning, you know, when we'd normally be here, we clean it up when we actually leave. And then the officer then says in a snide way, well, that's part of the problem. As though, of course, and she points out and she laughs at him and says, you created the problem. And now you're trying to blame us for it. But the problem is, folks reading this in the newspapers and reading letters in the paper or doing comments online on the Sentinel website believe this kind of nonsense, or at least they parrot it as though they believe it. Some folks do. Let's hear a little more. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM. Were you present that night? Do you want to give your own account on the air? It is, that was on the night of August 12th, last Wednesday, early in the morning, that this happened. And we'll be having another protest next Tuesday in the same place, and hopefully with more people. Again, a peaceful protest, even in the face of the kind of bullying tactics that might lead others to angry, if not violent, reaction. Of course, when you're being violent with a police officer, you risk getting shot dead. Unless you're well armed, in which case you both risk getting shot dead. All right, so let's hear some more from the sidewalk adjacent to City Hall.
So we need lots of photos of this for Facebook and for other social media to see how our police department is spending the taxpayer money here on the center of government.
Why don't we challenge everybody to go over there and see if they decide us all? All of us. All of us go back over there and see what happens.
We can try it if you want. We can ask.
You want to help me go around?
Yeah. He wants to know if we should all go back and risk being cited. You want to all go back together and be cited is what Phil Posner is proposing.
Who started this?
I'm personally voting for staying on the sidewalk.
Okay.
I'm waiting for him to say something about the tables in the gutter is not allowable, and then we move them back up on the sidewalk again.
I hear you.
Various strategies are being proposed.
It's been proposed that we all go back as a group, but that might involve more citations and or arrests, so you might want to think about that if you're interested. We're talking about that.
They almost arrested me. She told me if I don't move along, I'm going to get arrested. I said, I'm pleading the fifth right now. I can stand here.
Right. So that's if we're talking about going back onto the sidewalk again. I mean, into the park.
And I've been trying to get her to move it at least, point it downwards. I want to make sure she's safe.
So two people are being cited who refuse to move on the brick area next to a tent.
Okay, everybody.
So, what's up?
Stand right here.
What are we going to do?
We're not supposed to be here, right? No, we're not. The sidewalk's fine.
No, we're going to be on where we're not supposed to be and challenge them and see if they
decide to move. All right, sir, you're free to take your tent down. Appreciate you. Chase the sidewalk.
Let's come.
Keep
let's
move. Okay, let's go back. Come on, we're all going to go back for a sketch. Come on.
There's been a proposal that we go back.
Just like a tree, just plant it on the water. Don't move. Come on.
I'm with Phil. Yeah.
Come on. We're back on the...
Keep it over,
we're back
looking
on the park.
White mesh.
And Phil Posner, who led this, was, of course, the man who kind of inspired others in the group to give the name Freedom Sleepers to the group. He was one of the freedom riders back in the 60s who helped desegregate, I guess it was bus terminals and different public accommodations in the South, risking his life and limb. Here, hopefully, he's risking less, but he wants to make it clear that our objective is to restore the right to be in these places for poor and homeless people and for the entire community, I would hope. And therefore, he was encouraging people to go back into the park. And the rest of us were, some of us were agreeing, I was, to go along. At that point, I believe something else happened. Not sure whether we'd call it a coincidence or not, or a reaction to what we were doing, or just something had happened around the same time.
All of us. We're all back on the park. Come on.
You won't get shot.
I don't want to get shot.
You're not
going to
get shot. So we're back here.
This guy's just getting as much sleep as he can.
Right. Yes, sir.
I already gave you a citation for the 24-hour vacate. You're still
here's
on the
my
park,
car. Just in case.
Get off the park. Get on the subway.
I understand what you're saying. I'm in solidarity with this group here. If you want to arrest us, you can.
I believe we are in a legal place. I believe we are legally here. Please leave us alone so we can spend the rest of the night in peace sleeping.
We have no grounds for an order to disperse. We're not committing any violence.
Now, we returned, some of us, I believe, to the park area, although I don't have a really clear memory. I wouldn't like to make a complete confession on tape or on audio. But the audio speaks for itself. You can draw your own conclusions. There were 7 or 8 people who returned to the park and said, we're going to go back to doing what we're doing. And there you are.
I was back for planning that. You have no right to issue an order to disperse.
This could be your first bust, mister.
Yeah.
I'm going to be taken to jail, though. I want you to take my iPod if I am.
Okay.
Because they've already given me a stay order. So.
Oh, right.
So. And that's a misdemeanor.
Are you staying here tonight, sir?
I'm decided yet.
Have you been given a ticket?
Yes.
Kevin has moved back onto the bricks.
I'm a spiritual advisor.
Yes. Well, we're all here right now. We're all here. Are you going to cite us all? We're all here.
You're allowed to lay down.
Okay. We're all here. Are you going to cite us all?
At this point, I'm not. But.
Well, let's go back in the grass then.
Don't
hear that.
We're all here. Move from the bricks back onto the grass. I vaguely recall.
Put your tent back over on the grass, man. It might rain tonight.
Oh, you're right.
No offense.
All right, Tucker.
Hey.
So people were taking heart.
It's kind of wet on the grass over here.
And we're going back.
But we're still on the public access way. Keep that in mind. Some of us are on the grass.
So what's the deal? If we go on the grass, then we get a ticket?
No, they'll get a ticket. If you're in the park, they'll give you a ticket. I got a ticket standing on the public access way. Illegally. People are moving back onto the... That's Lucero speaking.
Files want to take cheap shots about my wristwatch. My finance doesn't affect my politics.
What you hear are people angrily and loudly expressing their right to be present. They are passionate. They are angry that their rights are being ignored. They are not violent by any means. The violence is being committed by those who are thuggishly demanding that they abandon their right to be on public property, that they abandon their right to sleep at night peacefully, that they abandon their right to be in solidarity with poor people in a way that harms no one.
Freedom! 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 Freedom!
going on over here. It looks like Israel is being taken away in handcuffs. What is he being arrested for? Israel, what are you being arrested for?
They haven't not told me.
What is he being arrested for?
Israel to identify himself and try to walk away from him.
An officer says he failed to identify himself. And they took the cameraman away, and they arrested him, and they're taking him off.
Come on, you're gonna have to arrest us all.
And failing to identify himself and walking away.
They took away the cameraman so they don't have the video. That's what they want.
And Israel is indeed the camera person here. Israel, what can we do? Do you want? What do you want us to do? Okay. You want to hand it to us? Okay.
No,
we're doing this, man.
This is going to turn it bad. You'll knock it off.
Just relax.
It's going to turn it bad for everybody.
Man, relax. We're okay.
You just stop feeling this.
We're okay, man.
No, you're not being peaceful.
We're okay. Yes, we are.
No, you're not.
These officers
no, you're
are the ones who are not being peaceful.
At all.
Well, we disagree.
I'll stand by them.
Okay, well.
See you, General. See you, General.
You're inciting a riot.
No, actually, we're trying to defend the right to sleep at night is what we're doing here. And these officers are the ones who are provoking this situation. It is a bad use of police time. And one has to say it is an interesting targeting of photographers and journalists, something we saw before in the Santa Cruz 11 case, where five people are given felony citations and dragged through courts, where journalists or writers around these issues, Alex DeRosi, Bradley Allen, myself, Becky Johnson, Brent Adams. The situation here was I got a ticket because I was essentially trying to be present with the audio, even though I was on a legal access way through. Israel, who was the man with one of the two UCSC documentarians who had large lights and kind of a massive camera who are videoing the whole thing. He was taken away in handcuffs. His account later said something to the effect that he was asked for his ID and he went to get it from his backpack, at which point they immediately grabbed him and arrested him. As you heard the officer say, perhaps he didn't, but I did. It's on the audio for refusing to identify himself and walking away. And it showed that the officers were losing it, you might say. Of course, being put in the position of trying to deny people constitutional rights that they are determined to assert can be a burden for armed thugs who are used to having their will effectuated immediately. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And by armed thugs, I don't mean to, again, as I said, demean any particular police officer. But the mass of officers acting in the way they were choosing to abridge constitutional rights through the threat of force and jail and fines and handcuffs and seizure of property. That's what thugs do. It is foolish. It is abusive. It is wrong.
He's arresting him because he's pressed. He's arresting him because he's chicken.
He's arresting him because he's been taken.
I know it.
Failure to identify himself and walking away.
Failure to identify himself? That's what they say.
He said his ID is in his backpack. Do you want me to get it for him? Would that satisfy you guys? Nope. Why not? If that's your real concern, don't nope me, please. Come on. If you're really interested in his identification, we can get it for you.
The public thinks you're doing a bad job.
So you really want to harass people.
people and arrest them. And you have to have some cause for asserting your authority.
You didn't give him a chance to get his idea.
No.
Well, the public thinks you're doing a bad job.
Some of the public does. And it looks like he's being taken away. So I'm crossing the street again. I still have two officers at the end of the sidewalk here observing. And again, officers. One officer with the two sleepers still on the red brick area.
Okay, are we guys?
Where's she at?
What's happening? Anything new? Looks like another citation. Hang in there, Lauren. It's okay.
If we could detain your detainee for a second, we would like to ask where our friend's bag is.
You know, my stuff is right under the sleeping
bag. Okay.
A black backpack.
Okay,
a black backpack.
Okay, I got the light on it.
Lee, can you look up a little closer to the camera?
6 inches is not enough. You back up another
2 feet. Oh, come on. Come on. I just did.
I'm standing at the ground.
What's happening now is Israel's wife, who is part of the photographic team, was now getting a ticket herself. And she was in tears because her husband was being taken away for no reason, other than perhaps he was photographing things the police didn't like and not responding to their authority quickly enough in a manner that they would respect or acknowledge, not submitting, I don't know. In any case, very upsetting to her and upsetting to all of us, I would say. And I don't let my calm voice fool you in this whole situation. It's important that you maintain at least the appearance of calm, even if you're not entirely calm, because my job there is to document what's going on and to let the community know what's going on, and also, of course, to stand with the people who are trying to awaken the conscience of the community on these issues. So Lauren Dawson, the other photographer, was now getting a citation for, I'm not quite sure what it was. It was either being in the park after hours or obstructing the sidewalk. I guess she may talk about it. But it seemed that it was very coincidental that all the people, well, who are specifically and pointedly doing journalism or taking photographs, and that included the Indy Bay photographer, Alex DeRosi, who writes up these stories on Santa Cruz Indy Media. You can see his both his writing and his photographic work, which is very good, on Santa Cruz Indy Media, of the past protests that were there. They all got citations. That was the first time Alex has gotten a citation of this kind for quite a while, as I understand it. And again, it seemed to me this was an attempt to, for me, it was clearly a repressive action against the press. Now, there's some who would say, well, the press has no right to violate the law, as the police see it, which is being in a park after dark, or being in a park after 10 o'clock, or in this case, after the city, half an hour after the city council leaves. But the reality of it is the police are making decisions about this whole center of city government citations, which hopefully will redound against this illegitimate assertion of authority. They're aware this is a protest.